What's up, everyone? Welcome to The Sahil Sehgal Show, where we interview some unstoppable entrepreneurs who are dominating figures in their businesses. Sahil here, back again with an awesome, insane guest this time. Today's guest is really, really, really special person, especially to me as well, and to our audience. I'm going to be interviewing my coach. You can call it my business coach, my mindset coach, my spiritual coach. He has transformed my life a lot since last. It's just like been 8 or 10 months I've been into his coaching elite program, and the transition, transformation that I have seen personally and my clients have seen is incredible.
What's up, everyone? This is Sahil here, and welcome to The Sahil Sehgal Show, where I'm going to be interviewing some crazy entrepreneurs out there who started from scratch with no experience, resources, and connections, and then later on became unstoppable and dominating figures in their respective businesses. We're going to dive deep into the mindset of these super successful entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and how you can model it too. It's time to pick their brains and uncover all the strategies and tactics which these entrepreneurs use to scale their businesses from nowhere to multiple 6, 7, and 8 figures. Welcome to The Sahil Sehgal Show.
Without taking any further ado, let's welcome Armin Shafi to our show today. What's up, Armin? Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Honored to be here, and I appreciate you having me.
It's a pleasure, man, to be interviewing you today. It's an opportunity.
Finally.
Our today's show is a little bit different. We are doing in-person event, and we are here in Mexico doing this interview show, and it's going to be the mind-blowing. Stay till the end. He's going to drop some insane gold nuggets, not even gold nuggets, diamond nuggets, and learn something from his wisdom. He has helped so many coaches out there turning into millionaires, six figures into the businesses, and even multiple tens of thousands of case studies that he has already produced. Myself feeling proud to be one of his case study. And man, that transformation that you have brought to other people's life is incredible. First of all, kudos to you for doing this.
I appreciate you and your kind words, man. It's really just helping people bring out of them what's already there. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you. So people who are living under the rock, they don't know about your story. Could you walk us through your backstory a little?
Yeah, I feel like I've lived multiple lifetimes. So there's so many different stories I could share. Almost dying at 18 years old and having a pivoting moment in my life that I want to take my life seriously and learn that it's not about how much money I make, but how I make it that determines if my life is a good one or not for me. I could talk about how I started as a life coach at 20 years old, you know, and with all odds against me. And I saw one seminar with Tony Robbins. I thought, I want to be this guy. And at 20, I went out there and I started coaching my barber and random people on meetups.com and kind of kickstarted this life coaching breakthrough business and did that for 3 years. And became a six-figure earner through that. But more importantly, I had hundreds of people coming to these seminars, helping people with suicide. And I was living my dream. But then COVID hit. And so I could tell a whole nother story on how I started from scratch, lost everything I built in the events business and started from scratch and thought, how can I help other people just like me who have a willingness and a drive to want to help other people as coaching, but help them build businesses? Because, you know, a lot of us are great cooks in the kitchen, but we're not great restaurant owners. And so because we know how to help people, we don't know how to build a business around helping people. And so that story would be how we made I to Get Coaching today and how we're helping hundreds of different people around the world start their online business so they can start create an offer and selling, you know, their ability to help somebody in a certain thing they're good at. So, but overall, I'm very lucky to have the right people in my life and the journey to make me who I am today. I can't take any credit, honestly. It's a humbling thing. The longer you stay in the game, Sahil, that you realize none of it really is you. By the end of your life, you'll look back and think, well, if all these things didn't happen to me, then I would have never had the things and done the things I did in my life. And so in a way, I'm starting to realize that. So the president of Think and Grow Rich being like a father to me and a mentor to me is one of the reasons why I even endured the journey of entrepreneurship and being able to survive it. Having the friends I did and the team I had, the ones who came and found me and said, I want to work with you and for you. And those people are the reasons I'm here today. And having a great mom and a brother that have always been encouraging and supporting to me and losing my father at 22 years old. And that being a moment in my life as well, where my drive for my love for him and realizing, you know, all the things that we did wrong in the family, all that psychology I learned, bringing it into the business of coaching and helping people with it. overall, I'm just another guy like you and everyone else. Difference is, I decided that everything that happened to me in my life is a reason to build something out of it, not to feel like I have had been wronged to, you know, or that whatever's happened in my life was a bad thing that happened. And so the story is very similar to many, but I'm here now and I'm grateful, and I'm hoping I could answer questions in a way that can help people open up their minds and their hearts to the answers they're looking for.
That's a crazy journey, man. You got through all those things and still at this age, what you're doing, man, to the transforming people's life and doing all that stuff, helping them make capable enough to change other people's lives. That's crazy. When did you got this epiphany or aha moment that you really can impact or transform someone's life?
You know, there's a story of, I remember going to work with my dad once. I was 14 years old. I went to work with my dad, and at the time, I was just a disturber kid, like a class clown type person. It was, he had ADHD, or I didn't focus, or maybe I wasn't that smart. And I remember at that time, I was just trying to figure out how to be closer to my dad, because I didn't really feel close to him at 14, and make some money. And so I asked him, he had a renovations business. So I asked him one day, let me come to work with you, and we went to work. And I remember working for 6-7 hours straight, doing all this hard labor with him. And the whole time I was thinking, man, I can't believe he does this every day. Like, this is really tiring stuff. And at the end of the 7-8 hours we spent together in this downtown basement in downtown Toronto, small, tiny basement, the guy, the owner comes in, and he was so unhappy with the color of the tiles of the kitchen that my dad put up. And I remember him just really being angry with him, my dad folding and, you know, being like, oh, sir, please, like, you know, and really being like, belittled. And this owner was like, I can't even pay you for the job if you don't change the tiles. And, you know, for him now, it means he makes no money because he has to go, and the cost of all of this, he has to pay for it. And the job was only worth $500. Can you believe that? Just $500. I remember as a kid sitting there, and I was, you know, I was young, but I had enough intelligence to know something's off here. And I remember watching, it was a traumatic event, like watching my dad being belittled and put really small, like, by this man who just doesn't like the color of his tiles. And I'm like, why would my dad let something like this happen? Like, someone talked to him like this. So on the drive home that day, I remember looking at him and just, we were silent the whole time. It was an awkward drive. And halfway through the drive, I said, why'd you let him talk to you that way? And his answer is probably the spark of what made me get into entrepreneurship without even noticing. Because when I was a kid, like, I went into door-to-door sales selling newspapers. I didn't know that was entrepreneurship. I just thought, let me make, you know, make things happen and make some money. But this was the moment where I think I decided, like, I want to transform my life, which is the beginning of what led me to wanting to realize I can transform another person's life. I can help them. And I sat there and I thought, and his answer was this. I said, why would you let him speak to you that way? And he said, because I need the money more than he needs me. And you've seen some of my sales training stuff, so you know my mindset is very much opposite of that now. Maybe that's where it started, you know, just seeing for money people folding and becoming unlike themselves. And so I remember looking at him and saying, you know, Dad, I don't want to be like you when I grow up. And I just said that very, like, innocently. And he said, I know. And I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be better. And I remember just saying that in that ride home that whole night, the whole day, and I'm like, wow, there has to be a way to make money with your brain, your mind. I want to find that out. And that's what got me into sales. And so when I decided to change my own life, I realized change can happen. And it was later down the road, this is a story I've never shared before. This is before I even went into coaching. I was about 18, 19 years old, and I was doing sales for this company. And I was selling in northern Canada, very cold place. We were wearing thermal gear because it was so cold outside. We could get frostbite. We were knocking doors in this. And I was making good money. I was making 4 or 5 sales a day, making 4 or 5 grand a month as a salesperson. And I was a pretty lazy salesperson. So I would go out there and beat everybody's numbers between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And then I'd go sit at a McDonald's and just work on like an online business. I was doing an MLM, you know, some of the Forex stuff. Yeah. So I remember I would go out there and do all the sales, and I'd just hit 3-4 sales, and like most people hit on a couple a day. And I would go sit at McDonald's and I'd work. As I'm working, I meet this girl, just like working there. I don't know if it was a McDonald's or someplace, but she was like a waiter or something like this. So it wasn't a McDonald's. I remember looking at her, I'm like, oh, she's really pretty, you know, like, let me get her number. So I remember as she was coming near me, I said, hey, what's your name and this? And I said, you know, I think you're really cute. I'm just here, you know, in town. I'd love to grab a coffee with you before I leave. And she's like, okay. And she gave me her number. I remember going home and I'm like, cool, like this is so awesome. I'm making sales, you know, got a girl's number. I'm on cloud nine, we're making a business online. And what happened was we were planning to see each other the next day. And I ended up splitting ways with that company before I could see her. So the next morning I get a call that, hey, we're flying you out of that state, out of that province, and you're going back home. I'm like, okay. And everything happens the way it's supposed to. I don't believe everything happens for a reason, all this stuff, because, you know, then what's the reason? If you just believe everything happens the way it's supposed to, then you always believe it's happening the way it should, and what it should is always good. So what I didn't see at that time was, I ended up not being able to see this girl. I'm like, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's just a nonchalant thing for me. I'm like, yeah, okay, I didn't see her, whatever. And I probably won't see her again because I'm flying back, you know, 6 hours to the other side of Canada. And I remember going home, and I let her know, I'm like, hey, I'm going home to Toronto today, so it's, you know, if you ever come by here, we can hang out, but I'm so sorry. And she was really upset. And so I get to Toronto, and she calls me. And she calls me and she says, I'm really sad we didn't get to meet. I'm like, I just got your number. Like, it's not a big deal. You know, it's not that crazy. And she goes, no, you don't understand. I was deathly afraid coming when you came near me to get my number. I was filled with fear. I'm like, did I smell? She goes, no, not that. She goes, I was raped when I was 14. I'm like, but how old are you now? She's 24. I'm like, 10 years ago. She goes, yeah, but you don't understand. I was raped in the middle of the woods by a group of men. And I got pregnant. And I had to abort the baby. Now I'm sitting there. I'm hearing this traumatic event. I'm like, bro, I just got your number. Like, why am I hearing this? But see, something in me was always put in there from a young age. I knew I had to help people this way. I didn't know it at the time. See, I've never told this story with anyone because this is really the moments of my life, even before I ever did anything like I do today, that life started to bring itself to me to become this person. And I remember hearing this and she goes, I've been traumatized ever since. I haven't talked to a man. I don't look at a man. I can't even sleep one night. I always have panic attacks. I'm like, you're 24 years old. It's been 10 years. I'm like, so what did your parents do? She goes, my parents don't know. So I said, who have you told? She goes, nobody. I'm like, are you telling me that you got raped 10 years ago by a group of men, got impregnated? They put a gun to your, like, you know, it's really disturbing how she explained everything, but it was pretty bad. And you aborted a whole child on your own at that age, went to hospital, came home, and you just didn't tell anybody. She goes, yeah. I'm like, are you telling me I'm the first person you're telling in 10 years? She goes, yeah. I remember sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my God, what do I do with this? Now, the first thing I went through my mind was, good thing I didn't meet her. This is how luck works in life. Because if I had met her and she had an episode, I could have been in handcuffs going away. Just by accident, misunderstanding, because it looks like I'm doing something. And second thing is, I thought, wow, this God was really being gracious with me because I didn't meet her. Second, I'm like, but I randomly met her on the day that I decided to stop working at that time, so I had to meet her. For the next month of my life, I was actually getting on multiple calls with her a week. So for the next 4 weeks, I started to see this girl a couple calls a week. You call it a coaching program. And I was reading this book, Jerry and Esther Hicks, at the time. So I was learning myself how to change my own life because it was at an era of my life where I wanted to turn things around. So I was learning a lot of spiritual things, learning how to meditate, how to manifest, how to visualize things. So I started to just help her. And I was telling her, I'm like, hey, listen, like, I know that thing happened to you, but what you're having is just you're not controlling your imagination. Let's do this. And I would practice with her. I was just helping her out. And we would do this for weeks. And she would call me the most weirdest times. Like, I'm in the middle of a family gathering. She's calling me, having a panic attack again. So I became like this designated therapist without even choosing. Like, involuntarily, I was helping this patient who was traumatically, done wrong to. And this was the day I realized I can transform lives. Is I helped her about for 3 or 4 weeks doing this, and I got her to a point where she could laugh about what happened. And I just did it by we don't have to go deep into psychology, but she was able to talk about it without, and she was able to sleep. And she met this guy at one point in those 4 weeks, and she was consulting me on like, how to go about it. Should I kiss him? Should I not kiss him? Should I trust him? And I'm like, it's okay. Take a step at a time. So she was essentially, I was helping her date the guy. And it was so beautiful because I'm like, I didn't ask for this. I was the sales guy who was starting a business. I'm like, I didn't ask to be this. I didn't know who Tony Robbins was even at the time. I'm like, what am I doing? But something in me was like, no, like as humans, we're here to help each other. And I have something that I can give her. And she came to me for a reason. So I'm going to do something with that. And this is the day that I realized, like, man, I could really do this. It was about 8 months later. 8 months later, I get a message from her out of nowhere. And the message is very long. And I can maybe find that message one day, but the essence of it was this. Hey, Armin, I don't know if you remember me, but we met each other 8 months ago, and I told you about my thing that happened to me, and you spent a lot of time helping me. I just wanted to message you, and I don't want to bother you. I just wanted to message you say thank you. I wanted to message you and say thank you because from all the work we did, I ended up dating that guy. And I really like him, and he really likes me. He knows what happened to me, too, so he's really gentle with me about it. And we're getting married now. And we have a barn together. And we're raising, like, a business at a farm, and we're going to have a life together. And just none of this would be possible. I wouldn't be here if I didn't meet you. I remember standing there just crying, reading the text, thinking, holy crap. I didn't even know what I did. I just followed my heart and I helped. And I messaged her back and I thought, and I told her, I'm like, you have no idea. I have no words for this text. Thank you so much for messaging me. I'm just curious. Where do you think you'd be if we never met? And she texted me back, six feet under the ground. And I'm like, thank you so much for sharing this with me. And you know what's crazy? Right around the time she texted me was exactly around the time I'd been inspired to start coaching. So this was my message. Even before I decided to do this whole transforming thing, something came in my life and I was called to arms and I helped. As soon as I made that decision, this came in my life and I thought, if I can take this girl and turn her whole life around, going from traumatized, not sleeping every night for 10 years straight, mm-hmm. never having told a soul what's happened to her, being shaking when guys come near her, to getting married, man, I could do anything then with the help of the spirit behind me with all of this. That was the moment, really. I've never told that story, but that was really the moment where I'm like, I gotta do this. Money doesn't matter, man. This stuff matters.
So inspiring story, man. Like, you become like healing coach, mindset coach, dating coach all at once at that time without knowing it. Like, you were doing that, healing her, and at the same time fixing her mindset, and then ended up helping her with the dating stuff as well. And then did you get a chance to meet her after that?
I did not, because the reason why I never shared that story is because she wanted to remain anonymous. Because the people who did that thing to her, they're part of a specific type of group. And if she ever got out, she'd be in trouble. Yeah. So I didn't get to meet her, and I'm sure one day I will, as life is how it works. And maybe I might even recognize her. Maybe she might not even recognize me. But she was a huge part of the confidence I had and the faith I had in getting into the work of coaching and like helping people.
Absolutely. How did this, like, I have heard your stories about you were watching Tony Robbins events, like watching endless YouTube videos, literally you were sleeping on the, I don't know, at your couch, you mentioned sometimes, people who don't know the part of that story. How did this turn into, the business? What is that part of the story when you turned into a life coach? And you were like, what, 19, 20 years? 20 years being a life coach. How does that pass? That's an interesting story. I know the audience would be.
Well, they called me a life coach. I was really trying to be a results coach because I was very relentless and determined, and I knew how to get people to get stuff done. I wasn't here trying to teach them how to live their life, although I did think I had a philosophy of living that made me happier the most. The how did any of us get to where we are is through the things that's supposed to happen. Usually what's supposed to happen that turns into who we are is pain. Pain is the gateway. At the time when I started, I went and got inspired by Tony. All I thought was, I remember I was sitting in the seminar and I saw 11,000 people in a room, and this is my first time. I flew out to California on my own. I shared a bedroom with a stranger, like a hotel, just to save money. And I was this 19-year-old kid. I'm like, I feel empty inside. Like, I know I have talents and skills, but I want to be motivated. I don't feel motivated. I knew something was missing. And I decided to go out, and I took all the savings I had and I bought this ticket and I went there, and I thought I was going there for some motivation. Like, maybe this guy will teach me a few things I don't know about motivation. And instead, he what he did is he opened up the possibilities inside of me for what's possible. And no one in my life had told me I could be something. I remember sitting there and watching him on stage, 10,000 people crying and screaming together and so much love in the room. And he's up there with his wife. And I'm like, this guy's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. There's 10,000 people in a room. So you got money, you got fame. I'm like, he's happy as hell in his own life. Like, he's driven, he's got his own self-mastered. So he has self-mastery in there. I'm like, he has love next to him. I'm like, this guy's the pinnacle of human potential. And at that time I was like, this is the peak. And I'm like, I don't care if it takes the rest of my life to get to where he's at. I'll be happy knowing I'm just working towards this moment. And it was a moment where I decided I can do what he's doing. And he was, you know, God bless him, he was really the beginning of my belief in doing something in this field. The moment was when he was up there and he was doing what he's doing, I just had a moment where I said, if he can do it, I can do it. And it's crazy because, like, not everyone walks away from things like that. Because, like, 10,000 people walked out there, but not everyone built a $1 million business or did all this stuff, or you know what I mean? Like, but you have to really believe if someone could do it, you can do it. And so I remember watching him. I'm like, he started at 19 with no education, homeless. I'm like, I'm in better odds than him, and I'm almost the same age. I could do it if he could do it. And I know I could. Something in me just knew I could, so I just made a decision. And really, in my life, man, I never had made decisions like this before. This is like, for the first time, I realized what the feeling of a real commitment is. When I made the commitment, I sat there and all my body changed, my biology changed. Like, all my heart opened up, my emotions went, I got chills in my body. I'm like, this is a decision I made. Most people don't even make decisions like that about what to eat tonight. And I made that about my life. I sat there and I'm like, for the rest of my life, I'm going to do work where I'm going to help. I'm going to coach, train, and develop people's minds. And that's what I dedicated to. And so walking out, I thought, I could do this. I don't even care how. I just know I can, and the how will show itself. Within 60 days of that seminar, I had my first free seminar, and I had like 50 people in the room, and I was teaching, and it was probably the worst seminar I could ever be at, but I had a lot of charisma and confidence, and so they all gave me a standing ovation at the end. But that was the moment that I'm like, holy crap, did I really do well? Because I was so nervous. I was just making all of it up as I went. But everyone just saw that I really was so certain, and I learned the power of certainty, because I didn't have anything. Like, I didn't have any experience. I had no money. God knows I had very few skills about coaching. But I remember saying to him, I'm like, I have more certainty than anyone else because I just choose to. And it's really not certainty. It's faith. Yeah. Certainty is a feeling. But, like, what causes certainty is faith. I just decide to believe. I don't care if there's a reason to believe it or not, but I can do this, and I'm going to be the best at it in the world. And I was like, that's all I told myself every day. I'm going to be the best at it in the world. I'm going to be the number one whatever. And within 60 days, I started the business, and I was still making no money. People were paying me a few $100s for like one-on-one sessions, and I was like doing breakthroughs, and like half the time it didn't work, but no one knew because it was in private. Like, I would fail. Like, I would do 3 hours with a girl, and she's like, yeah, I don't know, I don't feel anything. I'm like, all right, awesome. So you should not pay me, because I would make them pay me after if they get the result. So I practiced a lot, and I failed a lot, but It was like just this moment where I'm like, if you could do it, I can do it. And there was just so much faith in me, unwavering faith, that even if I end up being 50 and I'm on that stage where he is, I'm cool the next 30 years of my life being just doing this to get there. But see, like, that's a really big decision. That's a real one where you really commit to something. So that was the moment for me that got me into, like, knowing I could do this, you know?
That's awesome, man. You didn't care about money, obviously. You didn't think about that part. That was not...
No, well, the reason I didn't make, I would say, a lot of money compared to now, back then, is because I really wasn't money conscious. I wasn't thinking about the money. But see, in the back of my mind, I knew I'm going to make a lot, and it doesn't matter, right? I want to say for everyone to think that way. You should be focused on the actual service of what you're doing, but it's important to know the money should be in your consciousness if you're running a business. I wasn't running a business yet. I was just kind of doing my own thing. When it became a business, when I started to look at my numbers, but not being attached to the numbers. I still care about what we're building, like with the people a part of, even today, like what's the product like? What are people's experience like? And, you know, what else can we do? Like, that's the fun part. Money just happens. You know, money just comes in. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's a byproduct. A lot of people do opposite. Like, basically, they try to run after first client, first paid client. I'm not closing a sale and all that stuff. You literally went out of transforming people's lives. You knew that money's a byproduct, like, you're going to make money. That's a mindset shift. Not everyone has that at that level, but kudos to you again.
Yeah, the good example is, like, we're here at this event right now, and I'm just focused with the team on just having a great time with all you all and helping you all get breakthroughs. And just today we did like 30 grand in cash. But it just happens. Like, I'm like, yeah, whatever, it's money. Like, it doesn't matter because the money comes and goes. But like, what you do with that money and what you build with that money is what you sit with at the end of the day. And so that's really like, if it was a message I would give someone is if you're watching this, like, just be so obsessed with building the best product you possibly can, service or product. Like, how can you be better at this? Because that's what makes you feel fulfilled, because you're getting better at something. Like, if I put $1 million in your bank account right now, you won't actually feel any different. Like, give it 10 minutes. You know, like, here's my favorite saying is, you know, whether you have $1 million in your bank account or $10, coffee still tastes the same. You know what I mean? Like, coffee's still coffee. You open, like, bite into an apple, it still tastes the same, doesn't matter how much money you have. And so the true essence of the things that are real in life, those things, they stay the same. And it's just your ability to appropriate yourself consciously to love those things now, in this moment where you have time. But the money and the life situation, like your status or your money or your reputation, these things aren't real. That's why so quickly you can lose them and so quickly you can gain them. Someone could pay nowadays and be in an article. Yep. Now I'm famous. So quickly, right? It's because it's meaningless. So right now, anyone could do anything, make a few bucks. So the money's meaningless. But does the coffee taste good when you're sitting there alone in silence? Are you just sitting there and are you happy inside, or is all hell break loose inside your mind? Those are the things I was more working on before I even touched this kind of level of like income, which I'm grateful for, because the income, even for me, it still got me down. It gets to my head. I get attached to it. And then I have failures. Last year I did that and I had beautiful, painful experiences where it brought me to this moment where I'm like, I don't think money's ever going to ever influence me again. I really don't think. I just know it now. But I had to die to my ego so many times. 4 or 5 different depressions in different ways and different lows and different rock bottoms in this entire journey over the last 5, 6 years to finally just be like, I'm just not gonna fall for it again. I don't even care. We be broke or we have millions, it doesn't matter to me anymore. Like, I get to control this moment, what I do with right now. And if that's a good thing for me, what I'm doing right now, I'm happy with this, I'm gonna keep biting into that apple. And that's all I need. Everything else is an illusion. And if I'm gonna play with an illusion, I'm gonna make sure I consciously know this game is not real. And I'm gonna play with no fear, because there's nothing to lose. And when you're operating from a place where there's nothing to lose, you become dangerous. Because you can do anything, think anything, be anything, risk anything, nothing to lose. You become very dangerous in a very good way. Like, those kind of people change the world.
Oh man, that's so deep what you said. Makes sense, and I'm seeing it, I'm observing it, and what we have gone through. Man, that's crazy. This question coming in mind. What's the one biggest thing that your business has done which you didn't expect in the beginning? What would you say?
Biggest thing that the business has done, or like that's happened
maybe
in the business?
Maybe it has happened to clients, or maybe overall business, maybe the team.
It's a good question. Something I didn't expect. I didn't ever expect to go online, I'll tell you that. I actually thought I was gonna build this whole thing off events. I was stuck in like 1970s with Tony Robbins. I thought life was gonna be just a bunch of events. And like, I'll never do this online. I never thought I'd be like an online marketer. I never thought I'd learn this stuff. But when the call of duty rings, like, you show up, and that's what people needed, and that's what I need to learn. That's one big thing. I didn't think I'd be running an online business. That's really unexpected for me. Like, in the journey of me being an entrepreneur in this and just as a coach, I didn't think I'd have like this kind of business today. I really didn't. And the second thing is, I'll tell you this, I didn't think the biggest thing that's happened, here's a good one that probably everyone will relate to, or they're going to relate to soon. I didn't think I'm going to lose it all. Not only once, but several times. And when you start, you think, no, once it's working, it's good. You're done. This illusion of done, being done, settles in. So I thought the first time I made $1 million, or the first time I made my 100, like, I thought, yeah, this is it. I never expected, at least now, I think 3 or 4 times, for this business or my goals to reach almost close to zero and have to start building back up again. And that's a beautiful thing. I would be more suspicious about a person who has never lost it all over a long period of time. And I would rather want to learn from the person who has lost it a lot of times and got it back again or got it better next time. You know, some of my friends call this cycles in business. Like when you get a bunch of things, you lose everything. And it's like, can you get yourself back up? So it's like real entrepreneurs, like people that are success conscious, like really like real people you can learn from, like leaders. These people, they actually count the amount of times you get up after falling. And the ones who aren't like seasoned enough yet, you know what I mean? Like they're still naive or ignorant in a sense, not in a bad way, like they're ignorant, like they still don't know. They count how many times you've won. So like when I started, I thought, well, the biggest income months, you know, whoever's made the most money is the winner. It's whoever's had the biggest comeback is the winner. Because that person had to learn spiritual strength, mental strength. They had to learn things that evolved your character as a human being. It's very easy to just win when you're winning. It's extremely hard to win when you're losing. So I now my ears are more open to the people that know how to fail profitably, not know how to win. Everyone can teach you how to win, man. Everyone can teach you, oh, this is how you win. But tell me, how many of them win after losing? How many of them essentially, they get back up with confidence, faith, and keep going and persist even when they have nothing left? Those people, there's something spiritually beautiful about them. We can learn from them a lot in business.
And it's so hard, man. I personally went through that. The moment I shared you, we had 100K month, and then boom, the next month was like so down. And I'm like, felt like so crying. And I'm like, do I deserve a coach to coach people and all? I was having a call and had a talk with you, and I was like, most glad we did that. Glad everyone is, people who went through it, obviously, and standing up is not easy. But again, your commitment and dedication and the faith in the process, I think that what helps you to stand up again. That's what happened to us at that time. But glad you were there, man, to help.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Everyone in the make money space, they're just stuck in that trap. They're afraid to let people know that they don't, that it's not as good as they say it is.
So true.
But look at our event. We told you exactly. We're like, this quarter started off terrible. But we told you why. Like we just didn't focus on sales. And we made less than like way less than half than what we usually make. And but how much good came out of it? We focused on other things other than money, and so much of the company grew. And then boom, this month so quickly, just already up again, doing healthier, I think, in profit margins even than we've ever done. But your ability to live out those months with faith, like that's going to determine how long you stay in business and how big your business grows. Not how big your months could be. We had like months where we hit $600,000-$700,000 in a month. I'm like, oh, I made it, you know, all this shit. And I'm like, it means nothing. It doesn't matter how much money you can make in a month, man. It really doesn't. Like sit down and go, how many months can I lose money and not break?
That's hard.
That's real entrepreneurship. That's leadership. How many months does it take for you to lose money and not break before you just throw in the towel? I'll tell you my answer. My answer is nothing. No amount of months. No amount of months. I used to say this all the time to my team. Probably not a good team building culture thing. But I look at all of them like, if you all quit today, I would just start again tomorrow and find new people. Like, no, you can't stop me. I would say this to them, and they'd be like, what the hell, man? But they got the point. Like, I'm like, it doesn't matter if you all left. If all my clients left, all my team left, I just wake up tomorrow morning, I make a to-do list, and I get started again. Like, it doesn't matter to me, my situation. And so I'm not like this today. You know, obviously, it's not that cutthroat, but it's healthy to be that cutthroat in the beginning, because you kind of do need to cut some things. When you've been living in a spider web, you have to learn how to cut off the webs a bit. But when you're free of the web, and you're free of your past, and you're free of your poverty, and you're free of your fear, and you're free of your upbringing, and you're free of your social ready, you're free of all these limitations, it's not healthy to keep carrying this kind of bullshit. You know, you really want to sit down and operate from a beautiful, loving place of like, everything's just perfect the way it is. So now this is how we are today, and now I am. But if you're watching this and you're thinking like, yeah, but in the beginning I got any motivation, then get angry. Get angry about where you're at. Anger is a beautiful emotion. It's all a part of God. Like there's no fear is God too.
you go,
oh no, don't say that. No, fear is God. If you really focus on fear, it's actually a beautiful, intense sensation inside your stomach to make you do something. It's not even fear. Like, these emotions are just labels we put on them. They're not actually what they are. When they're built in the body, no one was around to label it in an English dictionary calling it fear, and no one could tell you it's bad. So it's just a sensation inside your body. So as you're sitting there, you're feeling all this intense sensation of anger or fear, anxiety, and today we have labeled it and we said, oh, the perception of this is bad. I just removed the perception. I go, oh, I'm feeling a lot of things. That means I'm alive. I'm here. I'm present. I can feel things inside of me. And it just feels uncomfortable, and I love that feeling because it makes me feel more present. And in that presence, I have the action, I have the power to act. And if I have the power to act, I can make things happen. I can transform, I can get results, I can start again. That's why to me at the time, where I'm like, you can all quit. It doesn't matter, because even if I got scared if that happened, all of that scare, all that fear would transmute into the power to act. And so emotions in that way is all of our best friends. You know, there's a lot of gurus out there trying to teach everyone, oh, emotions, don't make feeling-based decisions, and emotions are crap, and feelings are for wussies, and everything's about discipline. Like, hold on a second. Discipline is co-creative with emotion. But see, you don't need discipline in the sense of what discipline people say, like force. When you learn how to operate with your emotion and not try to control your emotions. See, emotions cannot be controlled. Nothing actually can be controlled. Not even your mind can be controlled. If you don't believe me, just sit down right now and don't think of monkeys. Tell me, how many monkeys are you thinking about? Now you go, Armin, I'll stop thinking about monkeys. I'm like, well, now I'm saying monkeys four times. Now you know how many times I'm saying monkeys. All you can think about is monkeys. Now tell me, if I let you sit in 1 minute, could you just think of nothing? Forget the monkeys, if you can. But can you think about nothing? No, you can't. Why? Because most of us don't know how to just not be associated with the mind. So you can't control it. Same way you can't control what you feel. If I look at you in a weird way right now that makes you feel judged, you're going to feel very uncomfortable. If I look at you in a smile, you're going to want to smile back. See, in that way, are you really controlling the emotion, or is the emotions really driving you? And so it's that we can't control the emotion of the mind, but what we can do is we can direct it, just like a river. So you got to imagine, like, if people are watching this, like, Armin, how do I control my mind or my discipline? Let me just explain to you a simple concept. I just want you to imagine you're sitting next to a river, and this river is yours, but you can't stop the river. You can't change the river. You can't empty the river. And at any moment, if you try to put your hand in this river, are you going to be able to grab the water? Have you ever tried to grab water? You can't grab water. This way, you can't grab the mind, you can't grab emotion. But it's running, isn't it? Too many people are selling you bullshit out there on the how to grab this water. Control this water, sit it there and try to say, do that. You can't do any of this. That's why you go, oh, how do I change negative to positive? Stop trying to control something that's not controllable. You have to learn how you flow with this thing, how you direct this thing. See, I can maybe put something like in the water and direct which way the water's flowing. Now we're talking about the habits we put in place so that our thoughts are only thinking positively towards ourselves. Now we're talking about the emotions, where we can transmute something negative or very intense emotion into some power of action. You go, oh, I feel very afraid. So come with me, fear. Let's do this together. This is a redirection of things. But see, these things, most people, they don't teach us. And so business comes and it hits us back to back to back to back. And we're sitting like, and we're like, this is so hard. You know, we work with hundreds of clients. As you know, you work with clients too. Everyone's always complaining about how hard it is up here, how hard it is in here. Not about how hard it is out there. How hard it is up here, how hard it is in here. These things aren't hard. You're hard. You're making it hard. These things are not hard. These things are very easy. They're the easiest things you could do because they're a part of what you are, they're your existence. If you just learn how to sit with them and allow the thing to happen and just accept the way things are being, then you have the power to do the only thing you can control, which is make a choice. And that's the only power that the humans were given by God, is the power to choose something. You cannot choose anything else. I cannot choose if my heart beats, if my lung breathes. I can't choose what I think. I can't, really. I can make myself think, but then 100 more thoughts will come right after that. So I have a say in kind of a direction of thought, but I cannot decide what thought does on its own. That's why real meditation is not trying to stop thinking. It's the separation of thinking, meaning it's still happening, but it's way over there and I'm over here. And so when you look at it, like, we don't actually control anything in life. I don't control what happens to me. I don't control what the weather's like. I don't control if my body, if my organs work or not work. I don't control any of this. The only thing I can control is what I'm choosing to do with it all. So in that way, everyone needs to remember, as a human being, the only power you've been given, the only power you need that makes you more superior than all creation in existence is the power to choose. It's like the story of Adam and Eve. Like, they gave them the power of knowledge and evil, knowledge of good and evil, because they wanted to know the difference between one thing and another thing, because they needed free will to choose between the two. And so when you're given the free will, when humanity was given the free will to choose, that created duality. Duality created good and bad, but that's just a perception. If they're both all from the same place, that means they're both good. If all things is good and God is good, then all things are good. But bad things are perceived, good things are real. But all the bad things that are perceived give meaning to the good things that are real, because if you only lived in daylight all day, you would not know what the sun is anymore. Just like a fish doesn't know what water is because it lives in it. So in that way, the only way the fish knows the value of its water is if you take it out and it starts to have trouble breathing through the water. Same way, if I don't bring you darkness, you don't know what light is. If I don't bring you pain, you don't know what pleasure is. If I don't bring you failure, you don't know what success is. If I don't bring you loss, you don't know what love is. And so in that way, like, you sit down and you go, wait, so I have the power to choose. I can't choose anything else. And the business is a perfect mirror reflection of this, to practice this. You know, I often like to say, you don't build a business builds you. Because truly it puts you through a training course, an obstacle course of humanness, where you're going to learn more and more about who you are as a person, why you are as a person, how you are as a person. And the only thing you have control that you should always be practicing consciously is, what am I choosing to do with this? So, but first you need to accept how things are, because that's called spiritual wisdom. I can't change how the world is, how the universe is, how my lungs work, how anything is. All these things are the way it's supposed to be. That's the first realization a spiritual person must know in business. If you want to become somewhat of a spiritual CEO, which is what I've planned to be when I was a kid, now I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, first, Armin, you have to accept everything. So if everything is the way it is, this is the income, this is the people, this is the market, this is my business, this is what I'm feeling in my body, this is the pain I have in my left foot, this is what's happening, and this is it, all it is. I can't change right now. See, right now we're sitting. You can't stand up, can you? You can't be standing in this moment while you're sitting. You say, Armin, I have to stand up to stand up. I know, but right now as you're sitting, you can't stand? No. So that means if you imagine you're sitting there, you go, I wish I was standing. You would say, this is pretty crazy, wouldn't it? It's an insane thought. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting there, you go, I wish I was standing. This is what people are doing to themselves in life. They're just suffering because everything's happening or is the way it is. But because it is the way it is, they don't like the way it is. And their like and dislike is making them suffer because they won't accept the way it is. Because they won't accept the way it is, all they're wondering is what the future could be like, what the past should have been like. But they're not actually here being with what is and getting the most out of what is. And as you're so focused on what tomorrow's going to be like, what yesterday should have been like, what you're not getting is how beautiful your right now is. And you're so focused on these things, you're missing the beauty of life and all the things that are right in front of you in this moment. And so I choose to just accept that I'm sitting. That's all I've done now. From these failures and pains, I just realized, when I'm sitting, and that's okay. And then when I sit down, I go, what do I want to do from this place? Do I want to stand? Do I want to keep sitting? Do I want to enjoy the sitting? Do I want to enjoy what it's like to be angry that I'm sitting? But I get to enjoy all of it. Even if I'm angry with the situation, I go, like, oh, look, I'm angry about the situation. That's all cool. And you kind of start to live your life from a third person, because who you are, like Armin isn't real. Sahil isn't real. Like, these bodies are just physical forms in a temporary sense. You don't believe me. Just wait till you die. Tell me where you are then. Are you in your body? No. So it's not really yours either. Even your body you don't control. Mm-hmm. So in this moment I sit, I go, what do I want to do this moment? Do I want to stand? Do I want to sit? And I look at myself. I go, what does Armin want to do? What do I want to do? What am I going to tell Armin to do? And see, now I'm living from this place where my soul is the one living through my body. So I'm just asking, am I accepting what is? Not liking what is, accepting what is. And in this way, we are at every moment creating our own hell or our own heaven. Because heaven is just, you're in a place where everything is the way you want it to be. And hell is just, you're in a place where everything is the way you don't want it to be. But see, people are confusing that it's what I want. It's not. It's, can you accept what is happening? Because then it becomes what you want, because it's what you have. So if you want to live in heaven, in paradise, right now, not after this life, right now, and make your business flourish this way, then you have to live in a place of total acceptance of this present moment. And then from there, exercise your human right to choose what you do with these things, what you have. And that's the power of action.
All right, man. That's an interesting way to look at not just the business and the life. As you were talking about the spirituality and coaching, I want to wrap up this with this last question. Like, how do you see that the business or coaching business, if you want to talk specifically about that, like related, or how spirituality is helping you in that, maybe growing a business, scaling a business, dealing with the teammates and all that? I'm interested to know about that part.
It's not that my spirituality is helping me with my business. It's that my business is helping me with my spirituality. See, the old me, the person I used to be, this Armin would try to find out how spiritualism could help him make more money.
Yeah.
This Armin would say, how can I become more awakened so that I can be able to grow the revenue by treating everyone better? See, everything was a strategy. Until I died to all of this, died to the idea of needing to hit this goal, needing to be a certain person, being this person, doing these things, everything's a strategy, it was very exhausting. And I'm not saying it's bad. I just kind of exhausted me. I've been doing it for so long. then I just let go all of it, and I just started to dive deeper within myself just for the sake of doing it, not because of what it gets me. And that's when the real spiritualism started to work on me. Because I realized, see, when a person like reads the Bhagavad Gita, or the Bible, or the Quran, or the Buddhist, you know, the scriptures, if they read any scriptures, the Torah, most of the time humans are reading these things, or even a marketing book, or a business book, anything, right? Leadership book. Most of the time people are reading these things, and they're reading with a personal agenda. How can I find the answer to what I need? Or what can I learn here that can help me with my goal? Or they go, what here do I agree with, confirmation bias? For the first time in my life, Sahil, I remember sitting down, and I'm reading all these scriptures. I'm reading the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran. I'm interested, I'm fascinated. I'm like, I want to know what prophets taught, because there's something much beyond this, the world of business and money, and so much beyond this. And honestly, in the Western side of the world, you're from India, correct?
Yeah.
So you know from your hometown, when growing up there, is much more spiritually conscious, because it's in the culture to want to, you know, to delve on that path of seeking truth. Even in the Western side, it's very much not like this. The Western side, it's all just, it's everything's just about teaching you how to label things and not seek your own truth. And so for me, I'm like, I want to seek truth. I want to know what these people that had truth were teaching us, what they meant. And when I read now, I don't read with an agenda. I don't study anything with the agenda. I don't sit down and go, how can this help me become a better CEO? Because then I only limit the wisdom into what I need to be a CEO. What if I could be more? What if I could be greater than a CEO? What if I could be more than an entrepreneur? And so when I read these scriptures now, and I study, and I sit in meditation and stillness, and I sit with my team, and I read even business stuff, I read books. And now I just read just for the sake of the reading. I read with no agenda. And that way I let God work through me and show me what he needs to show me. I allow the universe to show me what it needs to show me. In this way, my mind is absolutely open, no limitations. And I don't only learn what I think I want to know, which is usually an illusion, because I think I'm right about what I think I know. And I start to constantly recreate myself in my mind and my heart over and over and over by being exposed to the ideas of things I never even thought about. So it's not that my spiritualism is helping the business, even though it is. And honestly, the only way it really is that I'm just becoming a person who is less triggered, less hard to deal with, and less stressed. And because I'm less stressed and less hard to deal with, it's so much easier for my team to thrive. And so the leadership in my company just skyrocketed. My clients will feel more joy being around me as I'm coaching, because I'm infecting with that kind of energy. And so if I'm usually in the coaching program, you're at the core of the product, so the product itself has only become brighter, because I've become brighter inside. And so in that way, obviously my business has grown in many ways. People are drawn to the energy, they want to invest in that energy, they want to work for that energy, they want to learn from me and from this energy. This is all awesome, everyone's happy, everyone's good, things are moving. But truly I tell you, it's not that I did this as a strategy for business. I didn't even choose to do this. All the pains and the misery and the kind of this big, huge roadblock I hit, and this rock bottom I hit the end of last year, just put me in a place where I had to do nothing. I had to just stop being everything I am, just so I can listen for once, because I felt exhausted and I felt like no matter what I did, I was empty. And in that place I sat down, I just started to enjoy and appreciate just the basis of learning to learn and what the beauty of learning is, and being present with that. And so in that way now, being back in my business, because I kind of retired for a tiny bit, right? Went through the spiritual process and I'm still am, but now I'm in the business and I laugh with God, because I in my meditations I'm like, God, maybe I could do healing again. Maybe he wants me to go and heal and do all these things. And I've been listening attentively and I've been getting messages from people and I'm learning about healing. I healed my own body, like I had a really bad pain here, and just from sitting down through breathing and movement, like I healed. I'm like, maybe I could help other people. So I thought I'm done with business. I'm like, I'm gonna move on, you know? I'm gonna go to India barefoot, just walk around and just, you know, heal people. I don't know, maybe. And somehow I'm back in the business. So the other week I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm just naturally drawn now. I'm not trying to. I don't wake up with my goal. I don't sit down and go, I have to be this guy. There's no pressure. I literally just naturally got drawn magnetically back into the business. I started consulting a little with the team and I'm like, you know, they were kind of doing without me. I'm like, oh, but why don't you try that? And I'm like, you know, this is what it needs. The sales team needs me. And I just found myself back involved with the business again. And now I'm like, oh, the business is helping my spirituality. Because I sat in meditation, I laughed at God. I'm like, God, why would you put me back in business? You put me through all this so I can get rid of the pressures in the egos of business. Why would you bring me back to it? And then I heard the message very clearly, so beautifully. It's like, now that you don't need to do well, you can do great. And, you know, I say chills as I get chills as I say it, but that was the beautiful message. Like, now that I don't need to do it, I can really do it. And it's ironic because in the beginning you need to. And I get that. And that's beautiful too. There's nothing wrong with that. I think in the beginning you really have to be convinced and angry. Like, I need to do this because for me and my family. But then as you grow, you realize you can only do great when you don't need to do great. Because that's when great is being done through you. It's not your control anymore. Something's working through you. So now I just show up to the meetings. Something's working through me. I'm helping the people. Something's working through me. People aren't making sales. Something's working through me. It doesn't feel like it's mine anymore. Business doesn't even feel like it's mine anymore. My team doesn't feel like my team anymore. This body doesn't feel like my body anymore. I don't even feel like my words are my words anymore. Truly now I'm living in bliss because it can't affect me, any of the illusional pressures of having to be something, do something, need something. All of it's just like, it's happening, let's do it, what's next? And I get to go for the ride. It's like being locked in a car that's going in high speed on a highway and you're not driving, but you can't get out. And so you go, you might as well enjoy the ride. you might hit a crash at one point and die, but for the time being, I'm in the passenger seat, God's driving, we're going 300 kilometers an hour and I can't get out. Might as well enjoy the thrill of the ride. Look at all this emotion happening inside me. And that's what life feels like now to me. And so it's kind of a beautiful spiritual message for everyone watching is when you don't do it because you need to and it's your idea and you just surrender, you naturally just focus on what has to be done. Like who needs me? And you operate from a place of duty. Like I don't get on a team meeting because CEOs get on team meetings. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get on a team meeting at 8 a.m. because seven-figure CEOs get on team meetings at 8 a.m., so that's why I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone does that now. They just do things because that's what the people I want, the things that I want, the people who have that, they do that. Now I just get on like, oh, I feel like my team needs me. They probably need me for something. And sometimes they don't, and I don't get on the meeting. How beautiful is that? Sometimes they go, yeah, we don't need you today. I'm like, cool, man. I'm going to go sit outside and sunbathe or something, you know, to just hang out. And maybe during those times when the team doesn't need me, I study scriptures. I'm like, it's so cool. But it's because I'm like, now the scriptures need me because I need to sit down and interpret and understand this. Right. See what I mean? So everything sounds like, who needs me next? Who needs me? It's a service-based life. It's very beautiful. Even the Bhagavad Gita talks about Krishna consciousness. And one of the biggest things about serving God is devotional service in the Gita. It talks about devotional service. Same way Jesus was. It was service to the Father. Same way in the Muslims are operating. Everything's for Allah. And I'm realizing, wow, living a life of devotional service means there's never a stress or pressure on you to have to do anything. And when you let go of your goals, it ultimately becomes a team goal. It ultimately becomes just the goal, and you're a part of that goal. So it's like building a $100 million business now. Maybe my team really wants to do this. I go, that's a really cool goal. I'm a part of this goal. It's not my goal anymore. It's not even our goal anymore. It's just something that has to happen. And if it has to happen for us to make a difference in this world, let's do it together. And that's where we're leading from a place of spirit now, not from a place of ego. That really is the definition of blissful, joyful work, not hard work. That's where I'm at now, man. It's funny, like the business is really just my spiritual playground. Every day I wake up, I'm like, what's next? What are you going to teach me today, God? And I just show up and I do my best and there's zero stress or pressure. Zero stress or pressure. It's beautiful. And that doesn't mean the meetings are, you know, like soft. I'll get into a sales team meeting and I'm a hard ass guy because I know that's what the salespeople need. I get up and I'm like, where's your numbers? If you don't get on your numbers, you're not on this team anymore. And you go, Armin, you're speaking so zenfully. Why would you do that to someone? I go, because I know that's what the salesperson needs. That's what they want because they want the pressure to become greater. So, and then I get on the next team and I'm like, everyone's doing so great because they don't need that kind of pressure. And that way you become flexible and you're just a servant to whatever needs to be done and however you need to be because I'm not mine anymore. I'm yours. I'm everyone's. This is what truly what a prophet becomes, what I realized from sunning their lives, and what people that serve God and the greater man, you know, greater good of humanity become. I'm more interested in how this world can grow into consciousness more and how I can help that from the things that I do than I am what I can do in this world.
That's so beautiful, man. Really. How you reverse that even the way you think is incredible. Like, you reverse that whole thing. It's not spirituality that is helping your business. Your business is helping your spirituality. Right on, man. Mic drop moment.
So you know where the focus should be then.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, man, for coming on again, for sharing that wisdom once again. Thank you so much for doing this. people who were watching us live or listening to it, I hope you got the real wisdom from the man himself, founder of HighTicketCoaching.com, Arvind Shafi. The words, the things that he shared today, not just about business and all the other aspects of life, is what we really need, all of us really need in our, not just life or business, really in our, every aspect of how we think, how we deal with people, how we deal with situations. So thank you so much for watching. Stay tuned. We'll be coming up with another episode very soon. Take care. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit dreamclientsecrets.com to get more information about how you can grow and scale your online business. And if you love this show, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review, and I will see you in the next episode.